woman of a certain age up to be the next Julia Roberts, and it just never stuck. Like, Meg Ryan, Julia Roberts, it was the end.
Hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Some of them stuck.
Who? Katherine Heigl? Right?
Welcome back to Box Office Bylines, a podcast about movies, about journalism, from Ace in the Hole to Zodiac and Almost Famous to Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. I am Jacob Boone, a journalist in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories, joined as always by...
Tara Thorne, a recovering journalist in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Tara, I'm very excited. We're going to learn how to lose a guy today.
I already know.
Okay.
The key is never pick one up.
Fair.
Be gay, do crimes.
Here to help us, though. She is a culture writer at BuzzFeed News and the author of One Day We'll All Be Dead and None of This Will Matter. We're very excited to welcome Sachi Cole. Hello.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And you're in New York City, right?
I'm in Brooklyn. They're different, apparently. I didn't know that until I moved here. If you tell somebody that they live in New York and they actually live in Queens, they will kill you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I hear there's some spiking going on down there. So how's Corona life right now?
I mean, it actually doesn't feel that different in New York. Like, I haven't noticed any new regulations. So, but it also feels different when you're vaccinated. Like, the first time you're not, and there's such a heightened sense of anxiety. But I have had full immunity since April. So,
oh, wow.
You know, things have been different here for a while. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I haven't noticed anything that different. But I guess the truth is I just don't go out that much. So that's why I'm not noticing.
I've been amazed at how America just decided it was done.
Well, they never really accepted it had happened.
Yeah.
You know, in some states.
Like, yeah. Now it's like there's festivals. Yeah. We're back to life. The end.
Yep. Yeah.
It's like Alberta.
Yeah, it is. And I grew up in Alberta, so I really feel like I went from one to another. I'm very used to this kind of temperament, suffice to say. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Sorry.
It's all right.
We have a FedEx guy who drives by our house every day, and he plays... Is he gone? I think he's gone. He plays music very loudly. He might come back. If that happens, let me know.
It's fine. A little bit of background ambiance.
Yeah.
Speaking of New York, this movie is set there. It's the best segue I have. We're talking about...
A seamless segue. You guys are really professionals.
That's right. Sometimes we record and everything.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days from 2003, directed by Donald Petrie of Mystic Pizza and Miss Congeniality. Written by Kristen Buckley, Brian Regan, and Burr Steers, based and adapted from the comic book by Michelle Alexander and Jeannie Long. And of course, starring Kate Hudson, Matthew McConaughey, Catherine Hahn, Adam Goldberg, Thomas Lennon, Bebe Neuwirth, and...
Bebe.
Sachi, you chose this movie. You wanted to talk about this one. Of all the journalism movies out there.
This demented movie!
Why?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it speaks to what kind of a journalist I am that I didn't really pick a journalism movie. I picked a movie where journalism is, like, adjacent to the actual plot.
That's
but can you can you imagine if I showed up and was like, let's talk about Spotlight? Like, what kind of a conversation would we have? Who would I be kidding?
I mean, this, you know, of the early 2000s romantic journalism magazine movies where there's a female protagonist named Andy, this one has much more journalism than, like, The Devil Wears Prada.
I mean...
But it's not as good as 13 to 30.
The whole central plot is a story assignment.
Yeah, technically. I mean, it is, it ultimately feels like a movie that was made by an algorithm that is a man. Like, if they built an algorithm that was a straight white man, this is the movie that the algorithm would make. I love this movie. It is profoundly flawed. And I suppose I would on some level be lying if I didn't say that watching it, you know, I must have been like 12 or 13 when I first saw it, that watching it didn't make me think, like, shit, you can just, like, do weird things to people and someone's going to pay you to write about it. Like, awesome. How do I get involved in that? What do I need to do? And now I'm 30 and I'm sad. So that was the part of the movie that they didn't really get into, is that Andy ends up getting, you know, laid off 4 or 5 times. And, you know, she too has to go into advertising. It's very dark.
I was confused. At the end of the movie, she's on her way to a job interview in Washington to do politics. And then
she's on her way to a job interview in Washington. Because the movie posits that not one women's magazine, or frankly, magazine in New York would allow her to write about, I'm guessing, Darfur. Like, one of the essays she's writing in the middle of the movie is like, how to bring peace to like Kazakhstan or something.
Tajikistan?
Like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Like, it's one of those things. And it's funny to sort of watch it in a much more contemporary state of mind, because you're reading it and you're like, yeah, bitch, they're not letting you write that because what do you fucking know? It's not about you being a girl or about you working at a fashion magazine. It's about you not having a degree in political science and conflict resolution. And like her essay ends with like, one day everyone's just gonna hold hands.
It was baffling that she wrote the story before pitching it to her editor. Cause we see her like finishing it, the draft. And then when they go to the editorial meeting, that's the first time Baby New Earth has
it's
heard
like
about
her
it.
passion work is like this spec political piece.
But then she doesn't freelance it elsewhere. I mean, that's whatever.
She can't, right? Like, but this is the thing, is like there's some places where you have to do that, where you have to write the story before you can get, I mean, if you want to write for like the New York Times op-ed section as a freelancer, you have to write it before they accept the piece. You don't just pitch. And then most places have non-compete. So I'd like, look, thinking about how this wretched sausage is made is such a horrible process. Like, we're talking about non-competes in this podcast, but like, my guess is that would have been the internal logic. My issues, logic-wise, are that her editor tells her it's 10 days because 5 is too short and we go to press in 11.
Yeah.
That doesn't, you're telling me that you would have one day to finish the piece at this time, you know, in that era, there was probably a fact checker, RIP. That person has to fact check it. It has to go into copy edit. Then it has to get art. It has to get put into layout. Then those things have to be printed for another round of copy editing, then sent to the printer to be bound. Like, you're telling me all that's going to happen in one day? Like, magazines operate like a good 2 months ahead of schedule.
And she won't let her not write it because they've already made the cover.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't do it.
Which
she's
is
like,
just
no,
a single
cover,
like cover cell
it.
That they could have changed in InDesign.
And as if there are like all these advertisers just fucking drooling at the chance to have an ad next to this like story about a nobody dating a nobody. Like, it is so stupid. I love it so much.
Tara, did you like this movie?
No, it was demented. Because it does subvert the whole, like, I would tell me I was a bet situation, because they're both fucking with each other and don't know it. So they're both ratcheting up each side. I did like that, but it's just like, it's just more and more outlandish as life goes on. And also, I just felt like too much was happening for 10 days. Of life.
Yeah. They go through a
like
lot
not
intended.
In the relationship. Yeah, not in the relationship necessarily.
No,
but
just like temporarily getting from place to place. And
yeah, yeah. And like having, like, I don't, they go to like 5 Knicks games. How?
It's playoffs, man.
I guess. Yeah.
It's playoffs.
Yeah, no, I didn't like, I don't like Matthew McConaughey as a rule.
I enjoy him in this movie. This might be the only thing I really enjoy him in.
But
I felt
movie,
betrayed by True Detectives because of this movie.
Right. But this movie does extend the Dazed and Confused cinematic universe, because Adam Goldberg was also in Dazed and Confused. And they're like buds in this. So I like to think of them, they grew up to be conformos who worked in advertising.
That's so sad.
But probably
so
true.
Sad. Yeah. And then also, like, it's funny, you know, the characterization of all of the women in the movie is really interesting. Like, Andy can only have 2 possible modes, and one is her, like, like wolfing down a cheeseburger as if she's never seen one before because she's like a cool girl, mm-hmm. and she's really upset that they didn't put bacon on her fucking cheeseburger that she's eating at the office, by the way. Like, sense of propriety for everybody around. That's like microwaving fish at work. But like, and then she goes from that, and then the only other version of like women that exist then are like ones who weep at the vegan restaurant and scream, I can't eat in front of you because you think I'm fat. Like, there's only, like, it's clear that whatever men were involved in this, and frankly, probably some women too, because boy, you know, internalized misogyny is a hell of a drug, but there's only two versions. And so one is like the coolest girl you've ever fucking met. Like, she will let you touch her butthole. And then the other version is like, can you say butthole? Yeah, I should have asked, but I mean,
no, we're good.
I don't really.
No one ever has, but listen, we'll see what happens.
We're too far into this. It's too late. You guys are fucked. It doesn't matter. You made the request. I didn't call you. You called me. That's your business. Your lawyers can speak to mine later. But then the other version is like a nightmare person who's crying, who like lets their dog piss on a pool table. Like, there's only two. And then even her friends kind of fall into that category, right? Like, Catherine Hahn is like pathetic and crying and like useless and weird and overbearing. And then the other friend's just like hot and normal. Like, she, I don't even know if she was the gay one. Was she gay?
I mean, this is what I hope for her. I think she was.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. So right.
Like,
so
she
maybe,
played gay to me, and I think she was into Kate. Okay. Sorry. Andy.
I really felt like in a more stereotypical rom com, the two lady friends would have ended up with the two dude friends.
Yeah.
They would
have
all been couples.
Yeah.
At the end.
I mean, I think they really thought they were reinventing the wheel here, because they didn't make that happen. Yeah.
Did you like it, Jacob? And we haven't asked.
I did, actually, quite a lot. And I think it just all goes to, like, Kate Hudson's acting. I thought she was very funny.
She's charming.
Yeah.
Charming. She's charming.
And they're asking a lot of her.
They are.
See, listen, there's a whole generation of people who only know Kate Hudson as, like, selling them weird yoga pants through a subscription service that I do not understand. But before that, she was, like, you know, a fun actress who was like lots of cool shit. And like, this
she was
is,
Penny
this
Lane,
is
like man.
I just think this is a fun movie. It and is. It's a fun movie to watch when you actually are in the industry and you're like listening to like these pitch meetings. And like, some of it is like, yeah, that is it. And then the other pieces of it are like, I wish that was it. Like, Jesus Christ.
I really enjoyed Neuwirth's line in the editorial meeting when Catherine Hahn doesn't want to write about her breakup because it's too traumatic. And she's like, of course, who will use Michelle's personal life for their own story?
Yeah. Like, yeah. I've been in that meeting. Yeah, I know that editor. And you know what? She's right. Those pieces hit. Mm-hmm. She is the editor for a reason. She's awful.
Yeah.
She owns a nasty woman desk plate. She has two pussy hats on the shelf in her office. You know, she is a member of the wing. But yeah, like, she's like still very much exists. You know, she's just maybe not wearing like a weird like oriental appropriation dress. I don't know what the fuck that was, but like, that's very early aughts.
Speaking of what,
laugh about that.
What is grosser, making your entire newsroom take off their shoes for an editorial meeting, or coming into your advertising office and changing shirts, but just being shirtless for a good like 3-4 minutes?
Shirtless for sure.
I think taking the shoes off is worse.
Really?
Yeah. I
what
do.
If everyone has socks on?
No.
Yeah.
No.
There's too many
no
risk factors with the shoes on.
Yeah, this is an office. Yeah.
You can't be shirtless at work. I get mad when I see like shirtless men outside and they don't have a shirt with them. I go, where's the shirt you left that way? We live in a society. You need a shirt.
That is true. But was he not doing that in his office? Like, didn't he go in
yes,
and close the
that
door?
That had windows.
Yeah, it was like one of those glass. Like, the ladies in the right. office were oogling him from the coffee machine.
They were peeking. Yeah. They were peeking. But I think it would have been different if he had walked in the lobby and had ripped his shirt off. But also, I was not upset about that visual. So.
Do you think he made them include that? Part of,
probably.
Yeah.
I think there's a clause in all of Matthew McConaughey's contracts where either he gets to say something folksy and ridiculous or he has to take his shirt off. And this was a twofer because he does both. So I think he gets a bonus every time he does at least one of them.
Is the folksy thing bullshit, the running theme?
It's bullshit. It's like the the messy eating of the crab. The like food's falling out of his mouth while he's eating it. Loved that. Yeah, it's a perfect movie. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I liked it.
It's a perfect movie.
When they go up, when they like hate sing at each other and they're both terrible at it. It's great.
And Marvin Hamlisch is just sitting there with no
like
lines.
Laugh. Yeah, like having a good time. And then also that like first, this is, okay, here's I think what I really enjoyed, honestly, is like the climax of the movie happens at this really expensive like diamond party. Yeah. And that the...
Everyone was just given free diamonds. That was
good. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's given diamonds to loan for the night, which is ludicrous. Like, it's absurd. And certainly, like, marketing companies have a lot of money. But the idea that, like, all these journalists would be invited to that kind of a party. Listen, if you invite a journalist to a party and there is one free bottle of wine, they will all come, they'll kill each other, and whoever is still alive gets that bottle. But like, these are really not the events that I think they're generally invited to. And then, yeah, they like give her this enormous diamond the size of my ass, and then she like hoofs off with it to run her down as if there would not be a security person on her at all times. At all times.
Now that you mentioned that, was there a resolution? Did somebody take the diamond from her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. They come out because they use it as a way to stop her from completely running away from.
I was so emotionally invested. I guess I missed that part.
I know you were so. I get it. I understand. The heart wants what it wants.
Yeah. Okay. Ending again. So she's heartbroken because he was betting to keep her, and she was. They were both lying to each other for the sake of their careers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she quits her job to go do a job interview in Washington. He chases her down on his bad boy motorcycle.
First she quits her job because her boss tells her she can write about anything except politics and war. Which I'm kind of sympathetic to it because it's like if you get hired as a fashion reporter. And then you, like, I guess it would be sort of, you know, I'm a culture writer, which kind of means, like, whatever we'd like it to mean that day. But can you imagine if I went to work and I was like, listen, I am only going to report on activist investors, okay? That's going to be what I do now. It's me. It's Carl Icahn. It's Bill Ackman. I am going to figure this out. I'm going to write about, like, all these SPACs and all of these IP... I want to say O's. I'm an expert. See what I mean? Like if I did that, my boss would be like, that sounds wonderful. I wish you luck anywhere away from me. And she's coming to work at a fashion publication that, yeah, could certainly broaden their scope because fashion is politics, of course. But she's like offended that they're not going to like send her to Afghanistan the convoy. So she's like, I gotta go. So she quits and inexplicably immediately flees the city for an interview. Yeah.
He chases her down. They reconcile with a big kiss on Brooklyn Bridge. Was that
on the bridge?
Yeah, on the bridge.
In traffic.
On the bridge.
And then they go back to New York. So is she just giving up on her dream job? Or is she going to reschedule the interview?
I suppose that's a good question. No, I don't think she's giving up on her dream job. I think they're going to like figure out how to, that's the other thing. It's like, you're going to tell me that like there are no publications in New York that do any of that in like the early 2000s? Mm-hmm. Come on. No, she's going to get a job at Newsweek.
Okay.
It's very, you know, it seems very simple to me, but.
But I mean, of course you flagged the point that, you know, we don't know what happens with her work career, but we do know what happens with her love life. Which is
I mean, unfortunately, this is ultimately not a journalism movie and it is a romantic comedy. And so I did not get the closure of finding out what union she joined. So I guess we just have to tolerate knowing that she like falls in love with like, you know, some over tweez dweeb. But, you know, can't
cancel
have it
Donald
all.
Petrie. We'll do it. But seriously, though, romantic comedy, I was joking about off the top a little bit. Like, they don't make movies like this anymore. They just don't exist. They died.
No, because it requires you to turn off so many of the nodes in your brain to really enjoy them. And I think it just doesn't work in the same way. I mean, they still exist. I mean, there was certainly like a tremendous amount of attention on something like Tell the Boys I Loved Before. And like, but that's it's a little bit of a different beast. But I mean, I think it depends on what you want. I mean, set it off, one of those. That was good. I loved that movie. That was on Netflix. Lucy Liu was in it. Do you know what I'm talking
They're
about?
They're not like the tentpole studio pictures that they were.
No,
at
like
the time.
There's no current, there's no Julia Roberts, there's no Meg Ryan, there's no.
Those don't make money. Yeah. Those don't make money.
Not anymore.
So they don't care
no.
to do it. Yeah. Superheroes. So the stuff that they're investing in is Marvel and like, you know, this Dave Patel Green Knight thing that I will be forced to see, I'm sure.
All the reviews are rapturous. I don't know how.
I know.
I could not give a shit.
But I don't get it. I know. I can't figure it out for the life of me. But as a brown person, it is
right.
the law that I see this movie. So
Gawain and the Green Knight. That's a romance, isn't it? If I remember my Arthurian university course.
Sure. Yeah. Do you want to give a hand job while watching the Green Knight in a movie theater? If you do, then God bless. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm not there yet. But I don't know. They just don't make that much money, you know?
No, but they did for a long time. And I don't know. I just think it's just reflective of the way that the star system works now and that they aren't. Also, women want to be seen as like serious actors. And this is not a serious career path.
Yeah, but I mean, dating has changed a lot, right? So, like, if you want to have something realistic that sort of looks into how people date in a contemporary fashion, it's boring because it's a lot of people looking at their phones.
True.
So, if you can find a compelling way to do that, or if you can figure out a meet cute that's never been done before, which is happening, then great. Like, yeah, that's the thing to do. But, it's hard. I don't want to watch 90 minutes of two people like struggling through fucking Bumble. That's hell. Do you want that?
No, I don't.
No. It's bad enough when you have to watch a movie that has to do with a computer and some guy like mashes his hands on his laptop like without even his fingers. It's just all palm. And then he's like, I'm in. You're like, in what?
I was going to say it'd be easier these days for him to look up what she writes about, and so he might be able to put together that maybe this is... But he could have asked her that at any time, and I don't think he ever did. She just said she worked for this Cosmopolitan ripoff, and...
Yeah, and he's like rude to her, and he's like, oh, so like shoes and stuff? And she was like, that's not really what I want to do, you know? Like, it's like... Yeah, but if this movie was made today... She would have a crazy Twitter account that told everybody exactly who she was and what she was like. And then he would do one Google and he'd be like, oh, word, I got to get out of here. Like, that wouldn't, you know, that doesn't seem possible. I mean, I really just think that the world is different. It's hard to make those kinds of movies. Sort of in the same way that, like, it's harder to make a journalism movie now than it was, you know, when they were making, like, All the President's Men. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to do a movie about, like, what any, not me, because I don't do anything, but what my colleagues are doing, like, it's just a bunch of, like, hungry, hungover, dehydrated people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, like, hunched over a MacBook. And like doing Nexus searches and like looking on Twitter and then going into Slack to like make fun of somebody, you know, that they went to college with. Like that's the whole rub. It's just not that interesting.
I was going to ask what the Saatchi Kole journalism movie would be, but I guess some variation.
The juiciest parts probably are just anytime the lawyers want to talk to me, which is bad news for everybody when that happens, when that conversation needs to be had. But yeah, it's pretty boring.
Would it be called Hunch? But it, you would think it was a detective movie, but it's about
bat spine.
My posture?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. That's a good idea. Yeah.
You did a thing with your book. I love really short titles or really long titles. So I really love your book title. And I agree.
Thanks.
We will. Obviously. I know. Like, it doesn't matter.
I was right.
Yeah. We don't even need time to prove it. We already know.
I was right. I was right then. I continue to be right. Contemporarily, I'm right. The future will prove that I was and am right.
Back to the movie real fast. Was it evil to bring a dog into this situation?
It's not never cool to involve it. I get scared in any movie with an animal, even if like it's probably not going to die. I'm just like,
I don't even think that was a real dog.
It's a Chinese crested.
It looked like a little rat. I don't think it was a real dog.
I also really liked that on their third date, he cooked his famous lamb dish, which was like 3 full racks of lamb and like 10 pounds of potatoes.
Yeah, in the dead of summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the dead, she's wearing like a little like floral dress. The dead of summer, he's
had his oven on for 9 hours.
He's had his oven on for 4 hours. Yeah. And he at no point even asks her if she eats meat.
Yeah.
So he just makes a bunch of lambs.
Yeah, now she would be a vegan and it would be a whole thing.
It would be a whole thing.
Oh, also really enjoyed when they go home on the first date and he lights the candles and he puts on Nelly's Hot in Here. And then
such a relic of its time.
He thinks better of it. He's like, I'm going to be, this is about building a relationship, so I'm going to switch it up.
Yeah.
But that was still his original seducer song.
I love when they like have music like that in these sorts of movies because it really reminds me like, God, how far we've come.
Mm-hmm. And how expensive it would have been at the time.
How far have we fallen in
so much money. Yeah.
All right. Should we take a break maybe? And then there's a whole ton of trivia on this very popular film. It was very popular. This made a bunch of money, right?
I think so. Yeah. It was like a big deal. I remember when it came out. Everybody was talking about it.
Sort of fallen off since then. I feel like it's not talked about as much as Devil Wears Prada or 13 Going on 30.
Yeah, that's because the message sucks.
And those are both better.
But
movies.
The message of 13 Going on 30 sucks.
Don't get me started. I'm not fighting with you about this again.
Isn't the message of that movie like be true to yourself and like
No. Jacob thinks it's like Reaganism post 9/11 something.
Oh my
it's
God.
Like go move to the suburbs with Mark Ruffalo because having a job in the
people?
City
Can
is
we
bad.
Just enjoy a fucking movie about a magic dollhouse? Like I don't want to have these conversations every time I watch something stupid. Like leave me alone. Let me watch my dumb like garbage things on by myself every day. I have to deal with the doldrums of humanity. Let me watch something stupid.
Yeah, Jacob.
Fine.
Let's cut to our diamond ad, and we'll be right back.
That's what I was, huh? I was a guinea pig. Somebody you could test your theories on?
Yeah, and I was just a girl somebody picked out in a bar.
Yeah, you know, it's a big deal. Hell, I'm sure now you can even use it as a little twist in your story.
It's a good idea. Maybe we should bet on it.
You know what? You did your job, though, Andy. You wanted to lose a guy in 10 days. Congratulations. You did it. You just lost him.
No, I didn't, Ben. Because you can't lose something you never had.
Welcome back to Box Office Bylines, where this week we're talking about How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, a movie that does not follow through on its titular premise. And our guest is Sachi Cole. Because, Jacob, she wins him.
But she loses him first.
No, just for a minute.
Not
or
really.
I guess he loses her, because she ends it when she finds out he's betting on her.
She was a bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, they also could have just altered the like premise of the piece and make it how to lock down a guy in 10 days.
Well, I mean, the other thing I would say is that if I pitched a story to my editor that was like, hey, I'm going to date a guy and make him like lose his mind and then have him dump me within a week and a half. And then the real story was like, oh, but he also had a bet about me. are you fucking telling me that I would not immediately write a book about that and make $1 million? Like, like she's acting as if it's like a big problem. This is the story of her career. It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm like offended. Such a squandered opportunity for her. God, the cut would have turned that into like half of their front page. What are you talking about? Definitely. It's great.
Let's talk trivia. I don't have anything. Yeah, I agree.
I'm open to it. What is this trivia? Am I answering
no,
it?
No, no,
no. No, he just tells
bits.
Us and we react.
Okay.
You don't have to react. Things that can't fit in anywhere else. Burr Steers, okay. One of the writers. Related,
he goes down.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Related to Gore Vidal and Jacqueline Onassis, and also a distant relative of Aaron Burr, killer of Alexander Hamilton.
Oh, heard of him. Isn't it interesting? There's that piece about nepotism today where Ben Stiller's like, what? And it's just like, oh, yes, the relative of Jacqueline Onassis making it in the film business.
Doing okay for himself. Originally, this movie was set to star Gwyneth Paltrow and be directed by Mike Newell. Scheduling conflicts prevented this. Paltrow went on to work on the film View from the Top, which I don't think was very successful.
That's interesting.
I don't know if Paltrow could have done the batshittery the way that
I think she would have tried, but
she would have made it fancier.
Yeah.
It would have felt more brittle.
Yeah.
For her. Yeah. There's a kind of breakable, you know, element to
Hudson, I think, is a little more fearless or more confident maybe in herself.
And I think just better at comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's funny.
McConaughey was considered too old to star opposite Kate Hudson. At the time, she was 23, he was 33. To counter those arguments, Hudson told the press, I'm married to a 36-year-old, and it's not like he's ancient.
Okay, oh, the Black wait. Crows guy.
Was Hold it? On. She was 23 yeah. in that movie?
Wow. She was 23 when she made the movie. I actually wondered how old the character was, because it seemed like they were equal
Older?
Career professionally.
Yeah.
So I didn't assume she was like just out of school.
You know, a lot of these movies, she was 23. She looks much older. Do we mm-hmm. not agree?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. These movies are all like advertisements for sunscreen. Like, in what world is somebody who looks like that 23? Also, hold on. Mm-hmm. I have another question. She's 23 in theory as a character as well, right?
I think, because she does mention, you know, I went to Columbia, I got my master's.
Oh, yeah, that was a fucking gas. She's like, I got my master's at Columbia. And I'm like, who's going to tell her what a master's in journalism gets you? Because that was a bad choice even then.
So
that's
potentially she's just out of her master's degree.
Okay, so let's say she's 24. Yeah. She's like running around being like, why won't everyone let me do whatever I want all the time? Which I have sympathy for, because I felt like that from the day I was born and then just continued to do that well into my career, and I'm still doing it. But like, it does change it a little bit. Like, I thought she was supposed to be 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, she seemed 30. But much like Andy from The Devil Wears Prada, she just expected to walk out of school and into her new life.
Yeah,
as a well-respected
journalist. It's like there was almost little thought given to what age she was.
It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, if Almost Famous was 2 years previous, yeah, that makes sense now. But she didn't look that old in Almost Famous. She was supposed to be 18 or 19, I think.
Like,
and then how old is McConaughey?
He was 33.
Okay. But he just looks like leather from all of his time in the sun, generally.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked
age appropriate.
I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel they looked weird as a couple.
But, no, and I always flag that kind of thing.
A lot of the scenes were improvised, including her family album, when she plasters him with kisses when they get the dog, and much of the poker night scene that she crashes. So a lot of her wackiest antics were Hudson improvising, which probably is why they're endearing and not cringing.
I would agree. Yeah, they felt natural. That makes sense.
They felt like someone having fun on set.
Yeah,
we always.
And again, that's sort of what I look for in a movie, is just that everyone behind the scenes was having a nice time.
It's why you love Clooney so much.
There you go. You had mentioned Katherine Heigl at the start of the show, Tara. Did you recognize her in this film?
I did not see her, no.
She is one of the models on the covers of the Composure magazine during the opening sequence.
You know I have blonde blindness, blonde blindness, so I wouldn't have picked up on it.
Because she wouldn't have been in much. Roswell?
Anything. No. Yeah.
I don't think she's anything.
The yellow gown Kate Hudson wears, famously in the movie, created by Carolina Herrera, along with the film's costume designer, and the necklace.
Carolina Herrera.
Thank you.
I'm just warning. Listen, hey. The girls and the gays are going to come out for you if you say the wrong way.
The necklace she wears, an 80-carat yellow diamond designed by Harry Winston, worth $6 million.
Sure.
There you go.
I feel like Lady Gaga wore a version of that necklace at the Oscars when she won. Do you remember? She had like, mm-hmm. It was a diamond thing and a big honking yellow, you know, rock at the bottom of it. It looks very similar.
There was.
I would love if this was her favorite movie and she's like, I need that.
There were an estimated, so $14.2 million worth of jewels in this movie.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
This film came out, my partner reminded me of this, Katie. The slogan he comes up with, Frost Yourself, mm-hmm. came out the same year as the Women of the World Raise Your Right Hand campaign, where it's like women should buy diamonds for themselves. Put a diamond ring on your right hand.
Right.
Which was very much the diamond industry being like, sales are slagging. Can we expand our market?
Yeah.
And I kind of wondered if maybe De Beers had some off-books funding or something.
I mean, I'm sure they did. But also, Frost Yourself sounds like either you're saying, like, let's do a bunch of cocaine or something having to do with ejaculate. So I don't think it's like a good, it doesn't make any sense to me at all.
It doesn't at all. There is that funny bit where he yells, Frost Yourself at the window, and a woman yells, Frost you.
And yet they go with it.
Yeah.
I did like that scene of the ad executives in the big brainstorming session, and their table is just covered with like 8x10s of diamonds.
Yeah.
Like really thinking about it. One of the headlines on the first magazine cover shown in the movie states how to loose your stomach instead of the correct lose.
That would have made me hate my own movie if I were Donald Petrie.
Yeah.
There were a lot of like cover lines that were just like how to get a full head transplant, how to chop your head off and put it on somebody else's body.
Both Thomas Lennon and Adam Goldberg have played Matthew Perry's roommates.
Oh, yeah.
Goldberg on Friends and Lennon on The Odd Couple.
Oh, that's right. That's
Adam was Eddie, nutty one.
Yeah.
When Andy says, this is DEFCON 5, I have to do something truly appalling, she really means she's at DEFCON 1.
Okay, whoever wrote that should go to jail. Like, I'm an abolitionist, but people who do shit like this, to jail. Death penalty, electric chair, life sentence, nothing. Like, no visitors, no mail. It makes me crazy. Who is that for? Did you write that?
I didn't.
Did you write it?
I did think it, though, when the movie was happening.
What is DEFCON? I don't even
it
know.
It goes down.
It's like a level.
So, like, one is highest, five
What
is
it? Like, the speed
like
of the Starship Enterprise?
Alert.
Oh.
It's like when, if we're at war. I think DEFCON 1 is
at war. Did you guys have, like, a grading system in elementary school where one was the best and five was the worst? Because I did.
I do not recall.
In elementary school, if you got a 1 in class, that means you were, like, that was the best you could do.
Oh, wow.
On an assignment.
No, we had
and a 5.
E for excellent, and then VG for very good.
VG.
And then G
yeah,
for good. And then I forget
yeah,
some of
satisfactory. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then I, which was incomplete.
Oh.
Yeah.
Alberta.
So. Alberta. That's where all these fucking pedantic fuckers are living or leaving comments about, it's DEFCON 1. Whoever wrote that, I hate him.
Sacha, you had talked about the NBA Finals. Games 1, 2, and 3 were all played in New York in the movie, but if games 1 and 2 were in New York, then 3, 4, and 5 would have been in Sacramento. So, there's that.
Like, truly, this person needs to get a hobby.
Also, when...
Like, start doing some puzzles. I hear cross-stitching is very accessible for small minds. Like, Go outside. Talk to somebody new. Get a dog. Everybody needs something else to do than this. Being pedantic is not a hobby, unless I do it, in which case it's very charming.
Also, when Andy asked Ben to get her a drink at the Knicks game, there's less than 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Concession stands wouldn't be open that close to the end of the game. Though I did like that scene with the comically old concession stand worker. Back in 2012, it was announced a quasi-sequel to the film would be made based on the quasi-sequel book, How to Get Over a Guy in 10 Days, to be written and directed by Kiwi Smith, the screenwriter of Legally Blonde.
Oh,
no updates since.
Maybe Kiwi pivoted to Legally Blonde the musical.
Maybe.
And was too busy winning Tonys.
And finally, in a recent interview with Elle magazine, Hudson said she often thinks back to the movie and where Andy would be now, and believes she'd still be married to Matthew McConaughey with kids, but probably miserable.
There's no way. There's no way.
That is such a crazy thing to say. That is so funny. That's so funny. That's not what I thought it was going to be. Yeah, okay, sure, word.
I think like all of us, she probably recognizes maybe those characters weren't great, but she had a nice time on set.
That is so funny. I love that. That's such a good answer. I was going to say like, you know, I don't know, maybe he like moves her out to Connecticut and she resents him for it or something. And she's like definitely not working at like Vogue. She's at like
the Staten Island Register.
The Heartland Courier or something. Hartford.
Yeah. Courier? No, she's, you know what? She's probably teaching.
Hmm.
She's teaching.
At Columbia.
Yeah, Columbia, sure.
Yeah, no, they didn't make it a year, would be my guess.
Oh.
Sorry. She's, now that I know she was 23.
Okay,
yeah.
Yeah,
like that's,
right.
I mean, I don't know.
It does kind of make it seem like he's having an early midlife crisis with the motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. That's all. Anything to plug? Sachi, you're here. We don't have many people who listen to this, but we mentioned your book, which people should go and buy and read. It's great.
But I don't have anything to plug.
But your Substack's like People I Hate or whatever, right?
Oh, yeah. I have a Substack called a list of, I think it's called, I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
A list of people I hate this week? Because I feel like this trivia person from the IMDb should go on the new one.
Oh, I'm gonna fuck that guy up. It's called A List of People I Am Mad At.
And which is very funny.
You can find it at Sachi, Sachi.substack.com. And it's exactly what it sounds like.
Tara, people can find you on Twitter at ThornyHFX.
They can, and they can find you at RWJ Boone and the show at Box Bylines.
Awesome. Sachi, thank you so much for doing this. It was really great to
thank you. That was really fun.
And until next week, may your devils wear Prada, your views be parallax, and your jewels always be Richard. Bye, Tara.